we're ready to start. Debbie, would you start in a word of prayer for us, please?
Father, thank you for another day that we can live and move and breathe in you. And Lord, we just came here to bless you and praise your name. And we invite you. We know you're here and you're everywhere, but to sit among us and be the teacher. And we just thank you for all your gifts and blessings. Amen.
Welcome, everybody, to the Sunday morning adult discussion class at Wayne's Christian Fellowship. We just loved getting together and loving our Lord out loud, talking about him, making him a part of our lives, sharing about him, caring about him. So welcome on in. Today we are in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Been there for a while. That looks like we're probably going to be there a little while longer. We might finish that up today. I'm not sure. Who wants to read out of what translation?
I have an Amplified if you want.
Oh, do you?
Yeah, this has got both translations in it. Where did we stop?
We actually stopped reading at 7, but
seven?
Clyde went on another 5 or 10 verses during the discussion.
Yeah, but if you got the Bible that they normally read out of?
Amplified, yeah.
Well, won't we start at verse 1, so that will be in...
Okay.
All right.
All righty.
All right. Want to open up in prayer, somebody?
We did.
Debbie did.
Okay. I'm sorry.
That's just
I was looking for something over here and I wasn't paying attention.
That's so much a part of Debbie's personality, yeah. But it just sounded like she was
talking to her. Well, I was actually trying to look up something over here and I was focused in on that. Okay. It says, now about spiritual gifts, the special endowments of supernatural energy. Brethren, I do not want you to be misinformed. You know that when you were heathen, you were led off after idols that could not speak, habitually as impulse directed, and wherever the occasion might arise. Therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking under the power and influence of the Holy Spirit of God can ever say Jesus be accursed. And no one can readily say Jesus is my Lord except by and under the power and influence of the Holy Spirit. Now there are distinctive varieties and distributions of endowments, gifts, extraordinary powers, distinguishing certain Christians due to the power of divine grace operating in their souls by the Holy Spirit. They vary, but the Holy Spirit remains the same. There are distinctive varieties of service and administrations, but it is the same Lord who is served. And there are distinctive varieties of operations, of workings to accomplish things, but it is the same God who inspires and energizes. But each one is given a manifestation of the Holy Spirit, the evidence of the spiritual illumination of the Spirit for good and profit. That's verse 7. Do you want me going down? How far do you want to go?
We went to verse 7 last time. Let's go down to... wait a minute, for one body. Okay, let's go down to 14.
Okay, to one is given in and through the Holy Spirit the power to speak a message of wisdom, and to another the power to express a word of knowledge and understanding according to the same Holy Spirit. To another, wonder-working faith by the same Holy Spirit. To another, extraordinary powers of healing by one Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophetic insights, the gift of interpreting the divine will and purpose. To another, the ability to discern and distinguish between the utterances of true spirits and false ones. And to another, various kinds of unknown tongues. To another, the ability to interpret such tongues. All of these gifts achievements, abilities are inspired and brought to pass by one and the same Holy Spirit, who apportions to each person individually exactly as he chooses. For such as the body is in unity, yet many parts, and all the parts, though many, form only one body, so it is with Christ the Messiah, the Holy One. For by means of personal agency of one Holy Spirit, we were all, whether Jew or Greek, slave or free, baptized by the baptism, united together in one body, all made to drink of one Holy Spirit. For the body does not consist of one limb or organ, but of many. That was verse 14 there.
Okay. Clyde?
Well, I was thinking, it is tremendous to hear how God has used His Spirit to develop our insides, mm-hmm. to where one can speak in a tongue, one can speak in healing, one can speak, and the emphasis here is the one Spirit. I think He's wanting you to know that's how many things the Spirit itself can contribute. Mm-hmm. But let's face it, if we're not led of the Spirit, it's not contributing anything because we're being disobedient, right? Mm-hmm. But I think in here, it's actually giving you a foretaste of what's to come, that healing could happen. I mean, miracles could happen. All kinds of different things could happen. Wisdom, knowledge, understanding. I mean, it all is really wrapped up into this. Mm-hmm. It's actually very, very encouraging to those that have ears to hear. Let me say it that way. Mm-hmm. Yes.
You know, the one thing that struck me when I was reading about this is the main component of these things is humility. We are the bezel. He is the perfect stone. You know, right. It's not anything that we've done. We are just to let His light shine through us in any way. Because I loved the word said He does it by His own choice.
Right.
He by His own perfect will. He does what He wants to.
Right.
So there's no sense in you sitting there saying, well, I wish I had the gift of prophecy, because I only have the gift of knowledge, you know.
But we got to remember, because we've studied it, what did Paul say? He said, you know, I wish that all would prophesy, mm-hmm. but yet, mm-hmm. and then he talks about the love. I mean, when it comes down to it, he said, but without love, you don't have any of this. Mm-hmm. But I like the 11th verse out of King James, it said, but all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, mm-hmm. dividing, it says, assigning, this is a note on it, assigning to every man
severally.
Severally,
yeah.
And it says, individually as He wills. Mm-hmm. That's the footnote, is individually. Otherwise, you know, a lot of times, come on, we'll, you know, depending on how much you get caught up, and I hate to use the word doctrine of a certain church, your opinion will be based on that doctrine. Well, mm-hmm. I mean, I think that's probably where we're misled. I said the doctrine should be Jesus Christ. That should be our doctrine. And well, how do we know it? Well, we see what He did, because the Father in Him did that. Or told Him to do that, or say that, or whatever. And let's face it, Jesus walking the earth was not like any other man. He didn't walk in His own will. He walked in, an example of that is, remember when they left the temple, and He was back at the temple, and they were, I don't know how far away, but they were gone, and He was in the temple. Now, you know good and well, He was being led of the Spirit, because when His mother says, you know, what's this about? It's about me being about my Father's business. The Father's business was to teach. And actually, I believe teaching is a pre-runner of changing. When we're taught the truth, we're set free, and that freedom of being taught by the Spirit brings us about change. You know, I know that, I don't know how many years it took, but I got tired of trying to be changed, me changing myself.
Don't work.
It don't work. Like I said, a lot of time, I said, you know, as we get older, we find out that we have hard time changing shoes, changing pants, changing the light bulb. I mean, changing typeset. I mean, hey, Mike, changing the channel. I mean, we get, and changing the phone. I mean, stuff that irritates you to no end.
Yeah.
And really, I find out, I thought I had patience until it come to all that. When it came to all that, I go like, I don't have much of a patience. Is that?
You know, one of the things that I really like about this, and the Lord kind of taught me this years ago, is that the things of the natural declare the things of the Spirit. And if God, and what He started doing with me a lot of times is He would show me something natural. He would be dealing with me about a certain portion of Scripture or something, and then He would show me something natural to graphically bring that home, mm-hmm. And even what He's talking about the body, what is the most important part of your body?
Who's to say?
That's right. The part of your body that you need at the moment. You need to pick up something, guess what? And your hand becomes the most important part. If you need to go somewhere and move quickly, all of a sudden your legs and your feet and stuff become the most important part. If something's chasing you or getting after you, or a dog's chasing you or something, if someone's trying to tell you something, then your ears become the most important part. I like that a lot of people try to put a lot of emphasis on the gifts of the Spirit here, and the gifts of the Spirit are wonderful. And they're given to build up the body of Christ. That's what they're given for. And to edify the body of Christ, they'll say. To edify, that means to build you up, really what it means. And if we come to realize the things of the natural declare the things of the Spirit, if you just observe sometimes the things around you, it's screaming God. If you really see what's really happening, if you look with true eyes where you understand what you see. I know one time years ago, and I've shared this before, but I'll share it real quick. One time years ago, I was cutting the grass in the back in our little small house that we had, and there was a flower bed that ran 40 feet across the back of the yard. Our yard was only 40 feet wide. And there was a flower bed that ran across there. And my job was to cut the grass, and Margaret's job on the outside was to weed the flower bed and take care of keeping the flower bed right. Because I'm allergic to that stuff, and it makes me sneeze and stuff, and my eyes itch. But anyway, so I walk outside, and I see these big, tall weeds sticking up. These big, tall weeds. I mean, I'm thinking, oh my God, she ain't done nothing here forever, And right at that time, the Lord was dealing with me, was about the scripture, my people perish for lack of vision. He was dealing with me about that. And He had also given me the scripture about the blind man, where when Jesus anointed the blind man, he said, "What do you see?" And he said, "I see men walking about as trees." Mm-hmm. And He anointed him again, and he says, "Now what do you see?" And he said, "I see every man clearly." Okay? Now the Lord had given me them scriptures, and I hadn't put them together. I mean, they were just there. He'd given them to me because I was figuring I was going to speak sometime, and He'd give me those scriptures. But then I seen those weeds, and Margaret came outside, and I was pulling them up out of the ground and throwing them in a pound. And she started hollering at me. She said, "What are you doing?" I said, "What do you mean? What are you doing?" I says, "You ain't weeded this thing in forever. Look at this." She says, "Those are my trees. You broke my trees." And I said, "Your trees?" She said, "Yeah." She says, "Those trees grow really fast." And she said, I had planned on planting them along the hillside there, on the other side, on the outward side of the yard, so that it would shade the deck and shade the yard some. And the minute she started talking to me about that, I knew exactly what the Lord was showing me there.
Yeah, I'm sure.
He was saying, son, the reason that the man saw every man as a tree, until you begin to view every man as a tree in me, and that they're potentially a fruit-bearing tree in me, then you don't see every man clearly.
Right.
You have lack of vision. My people perish for lack of vision. And you know, you're the one that makes them perish because you don't have the vision to move into the ministry of reconciliation or move into the ministry of forgiveness, you know, and praying for those who maybe aren't doing what you thought they should be doing. And you know, when you come to realize that true vision is seeing every man as a tree, but see, he graphically showed that to me. Graphically. I mean, and I'll never forget that because of the graphic presentation of what happened, you know. And I had other situations, you know, a bee one time flew into the shop and, you know, I watched it buzz around the window trying to get across the street from the shop. There used to be this fence post and it had all these pretty like vine flowers growing on the fence, you know, there. It was like still a farm then. And it was really pretty. And when I was running the machine, a lot of times I'd look out there and just enjoy that nice looking, you know, it was like looking at a real pretty picture, you know. And I watched this bee, and he just kept banging into that window, banging into that window, banging into that window. And the thought crossed my mind, should I try to catch that bee and take him and put him out the huge garage door that was over to the right, back up the shop a little way?
Right.
And I thought, better not. He might sting me. You know? You know? So I didn't do it. And it was probably maybe a few days later,
oh,
a bird flew in. And the bird was trying to do the same thing. He kept bumping into that window, bumping into that window, bumping into that window. He could see where he wanted to go, but there was an invisible barrier there keeping him from going there. And I watched him, and the thought about the bee hit me, and I thought, and what happened with the bee is a day or so later I came in and that bee was laying dead on the windowsill. Because it had tried and tried and tried and it just fell over dead. And anyway, that vision of that bee being there dead, I thought about the bird, and I thought, well, I'm going to get that bird. And I got somebody to give me a hand, and we took a box and put it over the bird and captured him, you know. Well, then we took him back up the shop a little ways, over to this huge garage door that was wide open, and that's how he flew in.
Right.
He came in by the door, but he didn't go out by the door. He was trying to go out through the window, which would not... There was no way he could go that way. So well, I took him over by the huge door, opened the box and hit the bottom of the box and watched him fly away into the heavens. And you know, the Lord was dealing with me about, you know, about reconciliation. There is a way which seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. And I was thinking, that's the way religion is. They've got that barrier because they're trying to go some other way other than Jesus Christ, through works or through something else. You're not going to get there by that. There's only one door, and it's a huge door. But straight is the gate and narrow is the way that
right.
leads up to that door. In other words, you have to turn around and go in opposite directions sometimes. And then when you go through that door, which Jesus is the door, then you realize that you can fly into the heavenlies with him, see? And I, you know, and it's neat when God shows you stuff like that, because I'll never forget that sermon. I could probably preach that sermon 10 years from now, you know.
It'll still be just as powerful.
And just as powerful, because it's a truth, you know, and it's truth by even a graphic representation of it. And you know, but if we come to realize that all of these gifts of the Spirit, the most important one is the one that's needed at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we could be out in, you know, we could be out in the assembly out there, and somebody could come up for prayer, and they could need prayer really bad. And you know where I'm going with this. We had a brother come up one time, and he had cancer, and he was, you know, it was it was going to kill him eventually, you know, the cancer was, unless God would heal him. And actually, he was a relative of, I think he was relative, might have been a relative of Debbie, wasn't he? It was...
Uncle Don?
Well, no, it wasn't, it was, yeah, it might have been Uncle Don, the old Uncle Don, not your brother.
Not his brother.
Yeah.
Right, my uncle.
He came up for prayer. And he came up there, and the Lord just kept speaking to me about, he needs salvation. You need to talk to him about salvation. And I prayed for him, and I said, brother, I said, I want to pray for you, you know, that you receive the Lord, and that you, you know. And Carl came over and says to me, and I shouldn't say his name, but he came over and said to me, he said, well, that ain't what he's up here for. And he looked at him, and he says, that's exactly what I'm up here for.
Yeah.
Wow.
You know, and we don't understand, that was his need right then. Now, whether or not God healed him or not, that was up to God. You know what I mean? That could have happened too. Mm-hmm. But he came up to receive the Lord to get salvation. And God gave him salvation that day, I believe, you know, because he committed his life to the Lord up there, you know. Now, it we don't understand that God knows what he's doing. And if we'll just follow the leading of the Holy Spirit, we'll be able to minister on whatever level needs to be ministered on. And that's why certain churches try to go in a certain way all the time, you know. And that's because, you know, I'll give you one more example, and I'm not going to say any more of this. But, you know, we had a brother who came to church. And he was a black brother, precious brother. I loved that guy. He was just a sweet guy, sweet as could be. Him and his wife came for years and years and years. She passed away, and me and Clyde, I think we went over, I don't know if you, did you go to that funeral? I can't remember her name, but
was
Mike
about
was,
Tommy?
Mike was the guy's name.
Oh.
And
oh, you're talking about,
and she was just, she didn't ever say anything in church. She
right,
just
sat
back
there
with Mike and, you know, but she was a teacher, and I didn't know that. I didn't know what she did, you know. Mm-hmm. And when we went to her funeral, you'd never seen so many people show up and testify about the effects she had on her life and all this kind of stuff, you know. And Mike came to me a bunch of different times, and we prayed for him a bunch of different times. He wanted to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And really, what he was looking for was to be released into speaking in tongues. And I think sometimes we do people a disservice if we tell them they have to speak in tongues. Because I don't believe they do have to speak in tongues, because that is one of the gifts of the Spirit. Now, it is a definite sign to you that you've received the Holy Spirit, and it could be a prayer language and so on and so forth. But what did Paul say? He said, I would rather speak, you know, just a few words with my understanding what I'm saying, than 10,000 words in an unknown tongue that
right.
I don't know what I'm saying.
Right.
He said that person might be edified and built up. Mm-hmm. And we need to take that burden off of people so that they don't feel like that they're less than because maybe they haven't experienced speaking in tongues, you know. And it creates a division, and that's why some people won't come to what is called a holiness or Pentecostal church or whatever you want to call it, or mm-hmm. kingdom church, because they don't believe in speaking in tongues. Well, that's okay if you don't believe in that. You know, if God wants you to speak in tongues, you'll speak in tongues, you know. But you don't have to do that. There's nothing in Scripture that says you won't be saved unless you speak in tongues, you know. There's so many things that people have
yes.
put out there and made it a doctrine
yes.
that are not really doctrinal. Mm-hmm. And it's really a shame. I mean, it really is, because it creates a lot of guilt in people's lives. And makes them feel like, well, maybe the Lord really doesn't love me, or I'm really not saved or something.
I think that's what a bunch of these scriptures are saying. It's
yeah.
like, if the foot shall say, because I'm not the hand,
right.
am I not of the
right.
body?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Or if
right.
you're an ear instead of an eye, are
right.
you not of the body? Because
right.
you're comparing yourself to somebody else's gifts
right.
and ministry.
Right. Mm-hmm. And you know, God has a special niche. And like Mike, he was just the sweetest guy. You know what I mean?
Tevis.
Oh, I remember him.
Tevis.
Yeah. Yeah,
that was her
yes.
last name.
That's right. I can't
she
remember
was,
his name.
Kind
she
of a big
she was a heavy lady.
Yes.
And he was the sweetest, nicest guy you'd ever want to meet. I mean, he was just a really nice guy, you know.
Yes, I remember.
But he struggled with that so much because he hadn't been released into speaking in tongues, you know. And you know, like I say, sometimes people have put that thing on people to where they, and we didn't do that. We didn't tell him he had to do speak in tongues or anything like that. But this was something that he had in his mind, you know, that he had to do that.
He was less there.
And he ended up after she died, eventually he was, I think he married a Jehovah's Witness. I'm pretty sure it was. But, you know, and I often wondered if part of why he didn't continue coming to church, because he used to send in flowers and stuff on her birthday, or her birthday, I think it was, or something. But he'd send in flowers for years after she died to the church. Now, he might have passed away or something, I don't know. But he was so guilt-ridden because he felt like he you know, he couldn't speak in tongues and stuff.
Can I go back to the bird thing?
Yeah.
I think that was God's natural way of showing us, this is a man in front of you. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. You can lead him to freedom.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But let them go.
Absolutely.
The church don't do that. Mm-hmm. I hate to say it like that. But I think they grab a hold of them. Mm-hmm. And instead of, forgive me, Lord, if I'm saying this wrong, instead of giving them life, they almost choke the life out of them.
Suck it out of them just about.
Where they only want them to have the hope that you have. Mm-hmm. Well, I want to tell you something. That to me is another reflection of Christ. Mm-hmm. Hope in him. It's not deferred, for one thing, and it is the only hope that mankind has. Mm-hmm. I mean, Scripture, I think, verifies that. But with that bird, you actually gave him an exit or an entrance into freedom for himself. Yeah. And that's exactly what we're supposed to do with the body of Christ. We're supposed to get them to a place where when they get to the place, they experience freedom. And if they choose to leave, let them go.
Right.
I believe that.
Right. Well, see, the thing about it was, is what at that time the Lord was dealing with me, and this has been years ago, a lot of years ago, the Lord was dealing with me about total reconciliation. He was dealing with me about that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not in putting their trespasses, you know.
Right.
And religion has a tendency that it puts you heading in just one direction, and it's not always in the direction of Christ. They will show you something out in the future, you know, and a lot of it is going to heaven, you know. Just, you know, I mean, I hate to put it bluntly, a lot of it is, well, going to heaven. And they can see that, and that becomes their goal, but and they're almost ignoring sometimes Jesus Christ and that he's in them and what he desires to do in them and through them. You know what I'm saying? They're trying to go a certain way, and there's actually something there that won't let them get there, you know, because that they're so focused on that rather than being focused on their relationship with Christ on a daily basis, you know. And you know, and even if they were really truthful at times, they want to get to heaven, but the minute they get sick, they want to run to the doctor too, you know, to try to get healed, you know. Amen. So it's kind of a oxymoron almost, you know what I mean? But it's one of those situations where we have to realize that he's called us to lead them to the big door. He's the big door.
Amen.
You're not the big door. I'm not the big door. Amen. None of us are the big door. Now, we can be a part of the door if we move and flow in him to open it up to people. But we don't need to try to put them in a little box, and you got to believe a certain way. I've had people who've come in this church say to me different times, they've said, well, you guys kind of believe this or believe that. I said, tell them, you don't have to believe that. Believe whatever God's speaking to you. Right. The truth he's given you, that's what you can walk in. You can't walk in my truth. You can't walk in Brother Clyde's or in Kathy's or anybody else. Now, you can't expect them not to share their truth. They're going to share what they feel is their truth for them. But they're not going to put you in a corner and say, you have to go this way, you know. There's only one way.
One truth.
And there's one truth. And it's not a thing. It is the person of Jesus Christ.
It's not a doctrine or an opinion.
It's not. That's right.
It's
Jesus.
Well, it's like a lot of things.
If we simplify this thing up, eventually people will take down the walls. You know, there won't be no walls.
We can show them the way to freedom.
Yeah.
But it's up to them to decide what to do with it.
They have to want to let go of the things that are keeping them.
Yeah.
You can give it to them.
Yeah.
But it's their
well
thing that what they do with it.
You can try to take them to the door.
Yes.
And that's one thing where, you know, we should never be trying to get someone to follow us. But we should be trying to get them to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. That's in them, if they would come
to
realize
we can take them to the door.
He's
the
door.
We can't make them walk out the door.
No, you can't. No, you can't. No. But you have to realize, Scripture says, no man can come unto me
unless
the Father draw
him. Yeah.
So the Father has to be drawing any time for anybody to come to him, to go through that door. And what did Jesus say about being lifted up? If I be lifted up, well, what's he going to do?
He'll draw
all men unto him. Mm-hmm. He's the drawer, not me, not you, but he can use you in moving somebody in that direction. But if he has you witness to somebody at the right time, or say the right thing to somebody at the right time, or whatever, you know.
Well, that's a good analogy, because the bird could have easily flown back into the shop.
Mm-hmm. Well, the bird's nature. Now you have to look at a bird's nature. What's a bird's nature? A bird's nature is to soar. He wants to fly. And you know what that bird was doing? He was doing something against his own nature. Mm-hmm. He seen where he wanted to go, but he couldn't have got there no matter how many times he hit that glass. He could not have got there. And I mean, it was a beautiful picture. I mean, there was nothing across the street then. It was just a nice fence post where guy had, you know, it had like one of them metal square, you know, fences that they put up. And it had nice flowers growing over the side of it, and purple looking flowers, and beautiful. And the sky was out there and everything else. There was nothing obstructing it, you know what I mean, other than he was going the wrong way, you know.
It brings to mind that scripture, there is a way that seemeth right.
Right.
But the end is death.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. And that's what part of what the Lord dealt with me too. The end there are the ways of death. And that's what it is, see. And religion will not get you there. You know, I'm talking about just organized religion will not get you there. Relationship with Jesus Christ is what's going to get you there. It's the only thing that can get you there.
We
you
get
know?
That all the time. We'll be sitting in the back in the sunroom, and all of a sudden you hear thud. And
I've had my back door different times. Yeah,
a bird flying into it. And you look on the ground, it's like,
It knocks the whole silly out. Yeah.
And then it's gone.
And let me ask you another question. Who put that barrier there? Man. Man did.
Mm-hmm.
The natural man put that barrier there.
And, they did it to trick
And them. the barriers to keep people from really soaring to heavenlies with Christ is barriers that man puts there.
I did it to trick
those. It's just exactly like the law can't get you into the promised land.
It can't. Works and none of that stuff is going to get you there.
Judgment, no.
None of that. It's not going to get
you
there.
We understood the law of love that God...
Right. Well, what Clyde said a while ago about love, I mean, that's it. It has to be through love.
Yeah.
His love for us and our love for him.
Can I read this one? When you were talking about Mike Tevis. Sorry if I shouldn't have said his name. I thought, hang on a sec here. 12. Okay. A little further down in 1 Corinthians chapter 12.
Uh-huh.
The Mirror Bible puts this in such a beautiful way.
Yeah.
It says, everyone is not an apostle or a prophet or a teacher or a miracle worker.
Mm-hmm.
All are not specifically gifted as healers. This is, I think that the King James says it, but it says, have all not done this, you know, or, but this comes right out and says it. All are not specifically gifted as healers. All do not necessarily speak in tongues. You know, that could be great news to someone who goes to Assembly of God. Right. You know, because I went to some of their teachings, man, if you didn't speak in tongues, you know.
Right.
Back of the bus?
All do not necessarily speak in tongues. Are all equally accurate in their interpretation of what is said in a foreign tongue? Mm-hmm. This is the one I love. While you are keen, this is verse 31. It's beautiful in King James as well. While you are keen to discover which are your favorite gifts, allow me to introduce you to the summum bonum of life. In the Latin, that is the highest good. Mm-hmm. That's what we should be reaching for. The highest good, soaring high, you know?
Yeah.
And then the translation of that, the highest good, is love is who you are.
Right.
Love is who we are in God.
Well, think about when a person came to Jesus and called him good master. And what did he say?
None good.
Why do you
good.
Call me good?
All right. Mm-hmm.
He said, there's nothing good but God.
Mm-hmm.
So any good that we really seek after has to be after, it has to be him. You know, there is no good other than him. Mm-hmm. And that's why the knowledge of good and evil, mm-hmm. we really have to only have to have a knowledge of good, which is him, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And the evil will take care of itself. You know, it ain't gonna be there, you know. That's just the lack of the presence of God is all it really amounts out to, or the lack of the knowledge of God in something, you know. I don't know. It's
you know, there's a scripture. I think the churches say it a lot, but I'm not sure if it's apprehended or if it's taken in and made itself at home within us. This is eternal life.
Right.
To know him whom thou hast sent.
Right.
I would tell you without hesitation, when you go someplace, I'm just getting ready for eternity. And they're actually, without saying it, they're getting ready to die.
Mm-hmm.
What they're saying. But the truth is, this is eternal life, to know him whom thou hast sent.
Right.
So do you know him to where, because I always believe this is eternal life right here, to know him. In him, we breathe, we move, and we have our being.
Mm-hmm.
In him.
Mm-hmm.
And we are chosen in the beloved. We're not rejected, we're chosen.
Right.
And you know what? And I'm so thankful I don't know anybody that God has rejected. And we can go through this limited mind and think, well, I know several.
I've rejected.
But the fact is, it's not according to our mind.
Mm-hmm.
It's according to the love of God, which purchased everyone.
Mm-hmm.
And see, we need to stay focused and not get away from that love. Or, I would quote this, and the blood of Jesus, what it has done for us.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It has redeemed us completely.
Well, just think when we get into the next chapter,
oh,
it begins to really emphasize that much, you know, what you're saying there. I mean, you know, people will say, well, there's a scripture that says, how can you say you love God when you don't love your brother?
Yeah, that's a good one.
You don't love the one that you see in front of you. And that was like, I've shared this before, but that was like Jimmy Carter said one time. And Jimmy Carter, he was a good man. I mean, you know, whether you like his politics or not, he was a good man. He loved God. He taught Sunday school all them years when he was in Plains, Georgia. He went out and did all kinds of stuff to help people. You know, he was a humble man. But the thing about it is he said that this one missionary that he just really thought the world of and had such great success in bringing people to Christ. And he said, he asked that guy, what is your secret? And he said, well, my secret is that as I love the one that's standing in front of me.
Yes, amen.
That's
good.
That takes in everybody. You know, you have to, and love is not something that you feel, it's something that you do. It's something that you do. You have to determine that you're going to love somebody that's unlovable. I love Margaret the way she sometimes would say stuff. She'd be watching little kids, and she'd say to them, "I don't like you very much right now," when they'd be acting up. I mean, you know, she'd tell them straight out. She'd say, "I don't like you very much right now, but I love you," she'd say. "I love you." And I thought, how true is that? You don't have to like everybody, but you do have to love them in spite of that. And you know,
love is an action word, but it's also
love will cover.
What? God is love. There's no changing in God.
No,
He is love. He doesn't even love like the verb love. Mm-hmm. He is love. Mm-hmm. We're not there yet.
Well, you know, he quotes the scripture to us and says, "No greater love than this, than that a man lay down his life."
That's right.
For his friend.
For his friend.
Yeah.
And you know what? Jesus did that. For while we were yet sinners, yeah, Christ died for us. And that says that, of course, John 3:16, which everybody thinks should be everybody's favorite scripture. Well, I would say that's probably your favorite scripture if you continually do that every day. You know, you're breathing it, you're living it, you're walking it. If you do that every day, that's probably your favorite scripture. Mm-hmm. But one time, a guy, he thought that everybody would say that. Well, when he got to me, I said, "No." You know, he said, "Well, what's your favorite scripture?" I just looked at it and said, Romans 8:18. And of course, he was going, "What?" And I said, "Yeah, I reckon the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory of God, which shall be revealed in us." Mm-hmm. And he goes, "Where in the world did you get that?" That's the same place you got that. "So God so loved the world that he gave us." Because that was what was going on in me. I mean, I understand. It says that if you're going to reign with him, what else are we going to do with him?
Suffer.
We're going to suffer with
him. Sure.
And see, I believe that he's already taken care of the one. Mm-hmm. And to be honest with you, our belief should jump right into the other. Because he's already taken care of that too.
That's right.
He's already done that. We're living in a day that Jesus has already come to this earth.
Yeah.
He's already went to Calvary. He's already hung on that cross. He's already raised from the dead. Mm-hmm. Now, if his people will get in line, a lot of that's going to happen to them, and they're not even going to notice it other than glory. We're going to be in the glories. You know, we're not going to be in the... I've been talking to Mike about it, and you have mentioned it too. Of course, that book I read, that Brian Christian book, talked a lot about ego. And ego was an opportunity for us to bring him glory. It depends on what we settled for, what we chose, like you were saying a while ago. Well, I'll tell you what, we better choose to give him glory, mm-hmm, because that's why we were created, in his image. And I still believe we're created in his image. That hasn't changed. From glory to glory to glory. Opportunity, opportunity, opportunity. I mean, a good friend of mine, God took him home, I think a week ago or whatever. But you know what? I've heard nothing but glorious stories about how the Lord used him to help them get to a certain place in Christ. Well, to be honest with you, that's our job, to help people get there. Not to be a stumbling block to one another, but to be an encourager.
God is all in it.
Well, Scripture says that we are co-laborers together with him, you know. Mm-hmm. And, you know, a co-laborer is somebody who moves in unison with the other person, mm-hmm, to achieve a goal, whatever that goal be. And, you know, I've had a person say to me, you know, if God had reconciled the whole world, basically is what he said, he wasn't realizing it or not, then why am I out in the mission fields?
Yeah.
Well, you're out in the mission field because everybody don't know it yet. Mm-hmm. You're out there to tell them. Now, if you're telling them something other than that, mm-hmm, maybe you need to back up and change what you're telling them. You know what I mean? Because Scripture declares that. Mm-hmm. God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses. So you quit imputing their trespasses. Mm-hmm. you start claiming that they've been saved, that they've been redeemed by the precious blood of Jesus Christ, and that all they have to do to really experience that, it's been done, but they haven't experienced it because they haven't acknowledged it.
Right.
And if you don't acknowledge something, guess what? You ain't going to receive it. It's there. It's like inheriting $1 million. Somebody tells you your uncle, mm-hmm. your rich uncle died, and you inherited $1 million. Now, if you never go to the bank or wherever that money's held or wherever that's held and claim it and receive it, it's still yours. But you aren't experiencing it because you haven't went and taken a hold of it, you know. That's why, you know, in Gospel of John, when at the beginning of the Gospel of John says, to as many as received him,
mm-hmm.
took hold of him.
Mm-hmm.
To them gave he power to become the sons of God, who were born not of will of the flesh nor will of blood, but of God.
Yeah.
And he does all things according to his good pleasure.
Right.
And all will come.
Right.
Yeah. Right.
He's not willing that any should perish, Scripture says. If he's not willing that any should perish, how many's going to perish? If he does all things after the counsel of his own will.
It's hard to believe, but it's true.
Right.
If God said it, it's true.
Well, and the problem is that religion tells something different. Religion does.
Yes.
And you know, and to people that can't receive it, you might as well not even tell them that.
Exactly.
You know, there's a time to tell people things, and there's a time to not tell people things. You can bring them up into something by gradually showing it to them. Mm-hmm. It's like it says back in Isaiah, line upon line, precept upon precept, you know. And that's the way he chooses to bring revelation to us, a little here, a little there, until we come into a knowledge of the whole thing, you know. But he said unto them, he said, I've said to you, line upon line, precept upon precept, and he said, and you would not.
Mm-hmm.
So you fell back, mm-hmm. you know.
You kept butting against that window.
Right, right. Well,
what a great Sunday school.
Yeah.
Where has the hour gone, honestly?
Flies by, don't it?
Yeah. So, Mike, want to close in a word of prayer?
Father, thank you for another opportunity to just dissect your word so can we understand it. Father, thank you for all the things you're doing with it, as you showed us a bit about the gifts today. Father, just let us take the gifts that you've given us and use them in your name.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.